Tonight I want to talk about encouragement. And there's no question that the local church, one of the greatest functions that the local church would have is to encourage each other. I sure hope what we're doing tonight is encouraging each other. We need help. We need help to go to heaven. One of the reasons why God does it, when moment we're baptized, and somehow this takes us right back up into heaven, we've got to work for this. And our work is we're trying to help people become Christians. But I think an even greater work is that we build one another up. And that's really going to be the very thrust of the study. I'm actually using somebody else's outline tonight. Mark Larson, who worked with me in Virginia, did an excellent series that's actually online there called Encouraging the Heart. And this is his teacher's note. It's got questions and his answers, but we might have different answers for it. It's interesting, from 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and he's got the scripture printed out in the outline from the New American Standard. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. And if you take the word encourage in the English here, it's from the Greek word parakaleo, which means to call for, to speak by way of exhortation, entreaty, comfort, instruction, admonition to strengthen, encouraged by consolation and teaching. And I would say we all need that. We all need that. I can remember early on as a Christian, when I first became a Christian, one of the exciting things about being able to assemble with other Christians is the encouragement I received. And I would say that one of the most discouraging things that I could ever experience would just think that I discouraged somebody. That would really, I would not want to do that. Now, you know, we can't always tell how people respond or react. But encouraging is something that, as you realize, the more you give as a Christian, what happens? The more you give. The more you get, the more purpose you feel in life. You know, we studied 1 Corinthians 3 last Sunday night. And we're talking about the preacher's reward, the one who's the builder and the teacher. The preacher's reward is he sees his work go to heaven. You know, that's the thing. If somebody crosses the finish line, I want to see you cross the finish line. And we may have all kinds of problems trying to get to the finish line, but let's be honest and let's help each other. Let's realize what we're here for. It's interesting, as you look at the word courage, you break down the English word courage. Core means heart. And thus, to encourage is to give someone heart. Give courage to the heart. You take the Latin word core, which is where we get our word cordial. Thus, encouragement requires kindness, charity, or love, and generosity. Friendliness and warm courtesy is a must. I'm telling a true story here. I wish I was making this up. But I remember the first time that I was a part of starting a church from scratch. A friend of mine had gone ahead to start the church. And we had an odd group of people in that church to start off. They were weak Christians. But to give you an idea how weak they were, we had one Christian there, one family, that her philosophy was this: I will greet a visitor after they visit three times. It's the third time I'll say something. And I can remember, I've been there preaching to the guy. You know, I've been there about a month. I said, do the members ever say anything to you about your lesson? They go, no. Now let me tell you what we had to do in that work. We had to baptize some other people and some other people had to do this. For we were ever going to see that work make progress. It is possible, rather than for us to be encouraging, you know, we could be wearing on our chest, you know, a sign that says, no trespassing. So again, think about that. We want to be encouragers, not discouragers. Beyond well-wishing and sentimental expressions given in a greeting card to encourage someone is to instill courage in others when they face a great challenge. To give hope when their situation seems hopeless, and build up their strength to do their best in times of adversity. I'll be this week on the funeral to a family I know well. Why would I want to go to the funeral? Why would I want to go to the funeral home in church? No question. My prayer would be that we have the hope of the Christian past in this. I don't know for sure yet if that's where we're at on this. But there's great encouragement when you know that, you know, the one that has died is going to heaven. And we've seen that one successfully cross the finish line. You know, sometimes we get in situations where we kind of lose touch with reality, don't we? Ever had your emotions take you to a place where you were in an unreal world, although it felt real? Have you ever felt like nobody cared about you? Have you ever felt like, you know, you wanted to preach your own funeral, you know, you're just ready, well, if I died, everybody's going to be sad, you know? Have you ever gotten to that point? You know, sometimes we drift in our concepts of reality. And it's really good when somebody else can come and give us a lift. You would be surprised at the small little thing you can say of what a difference it can make to another. Let's look at some verses if we could. And I'm going to start off with Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. I'll let somebody who finds that willing to read, to read. And we'd like to read Hebrews 3, 12 through 14, okay?
Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, and falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm to the end.
Notice verse 14, our goal is to finish. Do we finish alone? Now, as a guy, you know, I can remember the guy. Oh, he did, buddy. I'm a self-made man. Yeah, my God. I don't know. But we know that or not. Yeah, you know, people try to bluff their way. I don't need anybody. I'm thinking about what happens to the person that says they don't need anybody and their eyes are up. I mean, what happens to that person? What happens when we are not getting and we're isolated and it's all about us? What happens? You die alone. You shrivel up. You can get mad at God if you want to, but God made us social creatures. And I will tell you, as you go on through life, the most important things about this life is not the job you got or the money you got or the things you accumulated. You're going to look back on your relationship. And I think we know that, but sometimes we've got to slow down and we've got to remember that. And isn't it great if your relationship is in Christ? Don't you want things that will last? The greatest joy that I can experience in this life, and I'll tell you that my family goes to heaven, and that I may have played a part in helping someone else go to heaven. I'm going to skip out of the outline because there's scriptures that jump at me and I'll tend to do this. But look at 3 John. Look at 3 John because here John's getting kind of old here and he's looking back on life and thinking about the good things that have happened and things that makes him very happy. Let's read verses 2 through 4. 3 John verses 2 through 4. Who has that we'd like to read?
Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper in being good health just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brother came and testified to your truth, that is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this to hear of my children walking in truth.
What's his greatest joy? And my children walk in truth. And here, the children here, people that he's been involved with and helped. By the way, this guy's kind of humorous here. You think about this. Look at verse 2. Let's suppose this was said of you. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. What would that mean if it was said of you? Yeah, you realize that if you said that to somebody, you might be saying, I hope you drop dead. It's assuming that you're prospering spiritually. Okay, that's the assumption. But notice, that is being encouragement. You read of the apostles, and you read of their epistles, and look at all the encouragement. Again, I know us guys, sometimes on the emotion side, I think we're kind of a little, show our feelings. Some of us guys are, and tell you about things, but we like to hear encouragement. And we know that others need encouragement. Don't be like the husband that said to his wife, and his wife was asking, well, do you still love me? I said, well, I told you I loved you when we married. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. Oh, we got to take care of that. And we do. We're made that way. And I'm that way. You may think I'm all that confident and strong, but I'm encouraging. Everybody needs encouragement. And that is critical. Let's talk about number three. There, I've got a whole list of scripture here, so here's what I want to do. Let me just assign some scripture here to those that's willing to read, and we'll just read these verses together. Romans 1:8, 1 Corinthians 11:2, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians 1:15 and 16, Colossians 1:3-6, and you got the other scripture? Okay, yeah, okay. You're not saying best of us, right? Now. Thessalonians 1:2-3. We'll just go there. But just notice, as we look at these scriptures, listen to what the writer is saying when he writes a letter. Okay? Please, got to start. Okay.
First, I thank my God
for
Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
So notice here, I thank God for Jesus Christ for you. I thank God for you. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11:2.
Now I pray, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you.
Praise you, brethren. Do a good job. Do a good job. 1 Corinthians 1:15-16.
For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remember you in my prayers.
Okay. I hear of your faith. I hear of your service. I'm thanking God for you. I don't cease to thank God for you. Okay? Colossians 1:3-6.
We always thank God, Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all of the saints because of the hope laid out for you in heaven. Of this you have heard the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day that you heard it and understand the grace and God of truth.
Yeah, give thanks God for you. Hear what you do. Hear your growing. Hear how the words have involved you. Hear how the word of God is growing in you. I'm so thankful. Okay, do we have one more? Okay.
We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father.
1 Thessalonians 3:6, where now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also see you. Let's just take those prayers. Is that us? When was the last time you just talked to one of your brethren and expressed thanks for them? Have you ever even talked to one of another brother or sister to say, I thank my God for you? Have you ever just come sometime, I just want you to know, I appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate what I see in you. You know, I admit some of us it's harder to do. We're kind of that easy about doing that. It's kind of an odd thing, but could we do more there? Could we do more? Why do we need to hear this? And that's going out for some discussion now for you. Why do we need to hear these words from others? I mean, our faith is of God, not of man. I don't see this kind of guy or Believe me, God trusts me. Why do I need to hear all this?
But we're God's vessels. God works through us as his children.
Yes. God is working through us. And we need to hear that. What else? Did we get other messages? What's the world saying? We don't hear much from the world. We just hear Christians, right? No, the world is banging on our heads. You're crazy. In the world, I think what Satan really loves it. Now, if Satan is trying to give a message, what's his goal? His goal is to weaken us. How do you do that? Let's meet the opposing general here. You want to try to destroy his army. You want to destroy the people of God. What are one of the best ways to destroy Christians?
Break down the morale.
Break down the morale. It's a good way to do that. Let's suppose I want to reduce our numbers. I'll preach. But I already have enough. They would do it again. But now let's say I want to be a little more subtle. Okay? Hey, did you hear about those babies? They talk about you. They didn't talk about the funny way. They're talking about, well, you said this about me. Or, can't you ever get together? I mean, you're an embarrassment to these people. You know, we can start, you can in so many ways. And sometimes we communicate things we don't know what communicating is. But we can start getting people suspicious of one another. We can let people who are hurt and wounded. And in fact, you know, when somebody's hurt and wounded, they can't defend themselves, but we should really beat them up. You know, all Satan wants to do is separate us from others. And then we can die slowly. That's one of the most effective tools that he has. You've heard the illustration, you got a burning fire here, you got embers glowing, and you take one and separate it from the fire. What happens? Still has a flame, but in time it got out. One of the very characteristics of falling away, if you want to analyze it in this way, is when we get separated and isolated. And we don't have decent interaction with Christians. I'm talking about we can be honest about who we are and we can share our lives with one another. So, we need encouragement. I appreciate the Seth's lesson. You remember the title of his lesson when he taught? First time, not second, not the last one, but the first one he taught. It's on loneliness. Remember that? And we all feel things. You guys are more aware than some of those old guys. You know, some of the, when we got a family, we got children, we got, you know, kind of all established. Sometimes we forget about others. And that is a real danger in churches, and it's a huge challenge for the non-student population. Here at University Church. Well, let's talk about us. Can we be more? Let's think about it. If we need encouragement, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. Again, I'm just going to skip around here. Who should we give attention to in encouragement? Okay, here we go. Everybody agrees. I'm going to be a better encourager. What kind of priority list do you get here? I don't look at all the people here tonight. I can't just go to everybody. But hey, I thank God for you. We all want to see kind of fun. You know? But we want to encourage you. But, you know, it takes some time. It takes opportunity. We can't get everybody. You know, we can't deal with everybody. There's so many people out there. We got to make it somewhat of a priority list. How would you make your priority list on encouragement? Before I read the verses, I don't know if you're picking that. Yes.
I'd say start with the most discouraged brother.
Yeah. Because you may not have much time. You know, one of the strange things about me and that I think about this, I mean, I get old and I sound like the old guy. And I guess I think back to places you were at and people you knew. And you know, one of the things, it's kind of funny, and it's not a morbid thing. But I think often of places that I was at and the people who didn't make it spiritually. You know what I think about that? I want that back. go back and get as much information as I can. How did this happen? How did this people follow, these people follow life? And you will find that people will reach a critical moment. And if they're not really back in, they're gone. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. And let's read verses 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians 12, 23 through 26. Who would like to read this? Let someone else read. 1 Corinthians 12, 23 through 26.
And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncommon parts have more abundant comeliness. For our common parts have no need. But God has joined the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks. But there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Now look at this verse, and somebody interpret it for me, okay? We read some verses here. Put this in your own word. Who do we have first? How is it put here? There's a member that really needs attention. What member is that? He's the one who lacks. Who's that? How do we put it in our own words? Who would be the one who lacks? Is it the one that can't be the same to everyone? No. Is it the one that maybe not be the best figure? No, that's not it. Where are they lacking?
In their faith.
In their faith, yes. But probably here is something else. They're weak in faith. But what else? Now, can you think about it? Here in the context, we did read the earlier verses. It's talking about how the eye doesn't say to the body, hey, I don't need you. You know, it's talking about the members of the body. And there are members that have greater honor than the others. Let's suppose this. Let me answer you this question. This is a real hard one. Let's suppose you had to choose between two members of your body, and you're going to lose one of your members. And let's say you had to make a decision between your eye and your wisdom teeth. No, that's not it. Okay. You have to make a decision between your eye and your little toe. Not much of a decision, is it? Would you want to lose your little toe? No. Now, what's the point here? Well, the difference between an eye and a little toe, we're really talking about how this one is perceived by the body as being needful. I might put it this way. Some of it's socially awkward. We have those. And you know, you're cynical. They don't know. They'll come up to you. They just say the wrong thing. And they may be oversensitive. If you say something nice and they're upset, you know, I don't want to talk with them anymore. I don't want to be around them. Guys, those are the ones that need us. And you will find, I mean, really, in a group, you will generally find one of the first steps when somebody falls away is they don't feel like they belong. And why is it typically in a group does somebody not feel like they belong? It's probably we don't line up socially. Now, if you don't think that's not a problem in churches, you're not looking. One of the saddest things that I've ever experienced when I searched in the Birmingham area, there was a couple that had lived right down the road from me. And they were living together. I was coming in, and they came over to my house for our yard sales. We had huge yard sales. We would call them ultimate yard sales. People just come from all over to our yard sales. By the way, we don't have some ultimate yard sales here. That's my trademark. Oh. But anyway, they would come in to the yard sales. I'd get to know them. And, you know, I thought, yard sales, I get more religious discussion at yard sales. People talk about things, I mean, really. And he knew what I was preaching. And I remember coming in from a 10-mile training run, running these huge hills, and I'm coming in all sweaty, about half dead, about around the corner, and they waved at me. They said, you know, we're going to start living together. We're going to get married. Would you do the ceremony for us? He said, let me get cleaned up. I want to talk with him about it. And so basically, to make a long story short, I said, look, you know, if you're eligible to marry, and we talked about God's law, and you're willing to marry, I'd be glad to do the ceremony. I said, but I'd love to have some Bible studies with you. And they agreed. And they started coming to church. Now, this congregation was well off. This man, he worked as a jack-of-all-trades. He's a hard worker. He did a lot of work for us. After my first study with him, they were getting ready to go out of town. He says, look, we're not going to be here Sunday. We won't be showing up at the clique. I said, you mean, wait a minute. You talking about the church? He said, I really mean the clique. And I kind of filed that up in my head. Okay. So the next Sunday they came, I intentionally sit back in the foyer. And he's a very, you know, gregarious guy. And I watched him come out into the middle of the foyer. He wanted to talk with somebody. And our congregation people went over here to visit, went over here to visit, went over here to visit. They walked around with him. I preached a lot of lessons on that, and I'm not sure I helped that church. So that's one of the things that I want us to be aware of, not only with Christians, but with non-Christians. Why would we go outside our comfort zone to encourage another person?
Because Christ did.
What's that?
Because Christ did.
Exactly. Spot on. We're going to be like Jesus. Remember how we said this morning how the Pharisees were criticizing him? You're with sinners. You're with bad people. Now, I think lots of Pharisees encouraged them in their sin. He was there to try to help them. And so, again, that's part of us. Remember the point of encouragement? Isn't it me? I think, and this is a true story again, and that's just meant more to me. I wish I knew who this brother was. I remember vividly the first time I visited the church in Tuscaloosa. I was scared, but I wanted to visit. I was so scared that I came a little late. You know, sometimes visitors late, I didn't know anybody. And I don't know if this student was late. I don't know if our students are ever late, but you know, I came in late, and he saw me, and he asked if I was a visitor, and I said he was. He said, come on, go with me. I know the class you're picking. And I went in class with him, and he sat with me. It came time for worship service. He said, come on, stay with me. And I sat with him in worship service. I'll never forget. I still remember this day past the Lord's Supper, and I was thinking, did they expect me to partake or not? If I partake, are they going to be angry with me? I remember, you know, things that visitors, you never think of that because you're so used to it, but, wow, this is different. We can do this in the Baptist church. You know, what's going on here? And I don't know why this happened. Maybe they passed word on to the preacher, but as I was getting ready to leave, the preacher invited me over for lunch, and I went to the preacher's house and ate lunch. Made an impression. So be thinking about that, brother, not only with our own, but with those that are not Christians. Comments. We're just opening this up. Any guys want to throw some things out? All right. Let's look at some more verses. Let's get down to number 5, that area. Brethren, you guys may be leading the way to teach our adults in the university church. I believe sometimes you guys can see things and will reach out, and sometimes with us older guys, maybe because of grades or disappointment, we might not reach out enough. How about when somebody has not lived as they ought as a Christian? And maybe gotten people mad. And maybe they behave wrong, but then they repent. You know, I used to think that, you know, if somebody makes a public confession and says that they're trying to do right, that just everybody would run to them and want to help them. That doesn't always happen, churches. Let's look at some verses if we could. 2 Corinthians 2:6-11. Again, you know, we want to encourage each other. We need encouragement. And I will tell you something. I love to encourage. Sometimes you rebuke somebody for their sin and they're encouraged by it. I don't know about you, but I like hard preaching. I like somebody telling me where I'm wrong so I can know what to do, you know. I like honesty. I want to know. But here's a man that he had been guilty of a sin, publicly rebuked for it, and he repented. 2 Corinthians 2:6, listen to this. This was the man that was withdrawn from 1 Corinthians 5. This punishment which is inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. So then on the contrary, you ought to rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now, if you forgive anything, I also forgive. Or indeed, I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ. Now look at verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, man's forgiven, he's repented, he's been forgiven from God. What else does he need? What else does he need? What do you think when you sin and you repented toward God and you find forgiveness, you at your shrink back, everything great? What's the problem?
You need affirmation. You need somebody to pat you on the back and tell you, you know, it's okay, you can pick up and keep going.
You know what Satan likes to do? And I'll tell you this, it's true to most of our young people too, our college students. I've been working with several. Sometimes people get caught in the sin. It's a sin that's behind closed doors. It's a sin that others don't see. And you know what Satan gets to tell you? And by the way, that's not an uncommon thing. But what, you know what Satan tries to say? You're dead right. You can't do it. You're dead. There's something wrong with you. Quit. Give up. And so here's a person. He has been broken, and he's come back to the Lord, but still there are those doubts. I'm not like the super Christian. You all are super Christians. And it's funny, isn't it? We're the super Christians. But they need to know and encourage you. I'm just like you. Yeah, I'm just like you. I've had this problem. I can share this with you. I understand. That is a critical time in the life of a Christian. Because when they've been humbled and when they come back, then we can say, I understand. And so again, yeah, we need encouragement. I'm going to throw some things out to you now. Let's just kind of put our heads together and say, okay, what are some to-dos for us? What are some things that we need, that you can think, as you say, your own needs? You know, what can we be doing better? Let's make a list of some things that may change our thinking, that we can be better encouragers. Make our own list. Here we are. We're the engineering group here. We're trying to, you know, encouragement 2.0. We're working on that program. What can we do? Yes.
I know when I come to a new group or something, I always like to feel involved and feel like I've got work to do, you know. So it's probably, I've seen that's the way it is for most of you, at least. So maybe if you're looking at somebody who's, you know, coming in and out, kind of waffling in regards to their spirituality, maybe encourage them, get them involved, and give them something to do, give them a purpose.
If Santa tells me he's discouraged, I'm going to let him bump. Okay. Yeah, that's really encouragement. No, but you're right. People make you feel involved. Let me tell you, brethren, when we come back next year and we've got that here in August, that's critical here. How many people we lose from that initial group that were with us in August and then that went up to other directions? We can't always change that. But we kind of come in a little geared up, aware of that. We try to make those connections and keep in touch. And sometimes people won't make it easy. Matter of fact, if I can have an opportunity to this, you be easy to encourage, okay? I mean, I've had people, I'm just embarrassing. I want to help. You know, you try to invite them over, you try to invite them to do this, and they're just kind of like, the, you know, the running back. They just try to face and run over you. You know, they try to leave for the services are over. After going, boy, I'm not encouraged at that place. So let me tell you, there's some people that just, you know, they make it enormously difficult. And then they complain about it. And I see this in churches. I mean, I cannot tell you. The places I've been, I'm thinking, how can I get to it? How can I help? Let's add some more things here. How can we be a better encourager? What are some things we can do?
Well, we talked about how, you know, we should make sure that we're the most discouraged person and try to build that up. Maybe someone's discouraged, she gives them to do. But we don't have to wait until people are discouraged before we encourage them. You know, it's so much easier to keep some folks up than it is to build them up after they're already down. And if we would take some preventative action, we have fewer people, but we would be able to try to say, well, I'm going to have to go really encourage those that they're not in the church. If we would encourage her all along, we would have you in the church. You don't have to wait until, you know, I don't have to wait until Alexander is depressed and her not in council anymore. I just saw Alexander right now, but I appreciate her as an example, and I think she's a wonderful person. I don't have to wait until she has to hear it in order to come to the church again.
Excellent. We really need to develop a culture of encouragement. We do. And some of you guys are stronger about this than others. For some of you, you come more natural than others. As a matter of fact, you're reading Romans 12 about a one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Who was a guy in the scriptures that was known for encouragement? He was so known for encouragement. That was his name. Barnabas. Now, not all of us can be a Barnabas, but we can. Let's do that. Let's work on that. Can we do that amongst us? I thank my God for you. And I have to admit to you, as a guy, sometimes I'm a little bashful about telling you. So I want to tell you, you know, but it's kind of hard sometimes, you know, to say that. But it's kind of funny. But, you know, I mean, I'm so encouraged by you all. Let's work on that. Let's look at these scriptures. Let's let them be part of our lives. They're very good. And let's give ourselves space. Sometimes we might get together and say, hey, guys, let's get that encouragement 2.0 and let's work on it a little bit. Let's run that program up. Let's make sure we're going. Some other suggestions?
For myself, I probably need to work on being a better listener and being somebody who's willing to take the time to listen if somebody needs to talk to me or needs to talk to somebody about things that are becoming a problem for them, like Al was mentioned about. Before they get to the point where they're so discouraged that they need more, you know, like intense care, I guess.
So we don't have to try to start giving food until their eyes are gone, you know, and they're kind of skeleton, you know. We won't do that before that, you know, start helping, be aware. And take time with us. This time, we'd be very busy. Of course, I know most of you don't have much to do, right? And so that is a challenge. Then it gets a challenge later as you get it. And that was the thing about the congregation I was at. We had good people. But they were very busy. And you know what? They were encouraged. You know, isn't it interesting? If you're being encouraged, well, it's great. But why it happened, they had formed cliques. And they had a church. And remember in James 2, he talks about the person, well, if you see somebody starving, you say, be you warm to feed. There are people starving sometimes. You could be surrounded by people and be hungry. But remember that. Any other suggestions? Get some great points. Yes.
Well, I guess one little action you could call it tactics that we could use that would make it easier for us to not only encourage others, but not only encourage other members of the church, but not visitors, is sit somewhere else. I mean, if you're trying to find a seat in the church building, it's a lot easier to start talking to somebody right at the church if you're already sitting there than when you already engaged in a conversation that you're around them. Amen is said. Sometimes I like to make sure sometimes I'll sit towards the front or in the kind of the college kids section, I guess you could call it. But I think that would be a very good way to make it a lot easier to just find somebody to sit along with you who obviously is not, there, came with somebody, or somebody you don't know or don't recognize, or it's anything like that. I mean, that makes it a lot easier.
I would say that if we're all doing that and encouraging all the time, hopefully we're going to run out of the lonely people to take care of. And I think like what they were saying is if you're encouraging everyone all the time, I think it's important to do that too because you don't always know who's lonely. You know what I mean? I know I'm always really charismatic and maybe charismatic is a good word, but especially in a religious setting. Anyway. David can probably relate to this, but it's really easy for us to get caught up in being happy all the time or putting on the face of being happy, even though inside we just want someone to talk to us. But it's a lot harder, for people who are reserved that will just sit by themselves in a pew, it's a lot easier to see those people than those of us who will go around and just talk to everyone, and no one knows that we're just sitting in our apartment depressed and meeting someone because on the outside we look like we're just totally fine. So I think it's even more so important for us to be encouraging people all the time because you don't really know. You never know who's really well.
That's true. Let's pray. Are you praying that we have the wisdom we can see we can reach out and connect? I guess we probably get a good point here. I think it's a great class. My good friend Mark Larson put this series together. He's got a whole series of it on encouraging the heart. And I can show you where to download the outlines there on the old website of the Seagull Church. You have to find them there in the archives. But you got some more material right here. By the way, in the college class, we're about to finish our study of the local church. And we're going to be talking about, and I'm going to continue to pitch you guys, can't get rid of it, but we're going to be starting talking about building a biblical faith. And so actually we'll probably implement some of these things and we'll kind of be switching toward that and about the idea of building up, and that'll be what we'll be developing next quarter. And I'm working on that on that. Hopefully we'll have something to do there. And we'll probably be having Blake Edwards be teaching us. I think the next class, we're not sure. I want to check with Blake, make sure it's scheduled. And again, if some of you guys want to step up and lead and teach, got some things on your heart, think it's really important, you want to lead, we want you to do that as well. Any more discussion before we close tonight? Well, I've been encouraged. I hope you have too. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for every blessing you give us. We're thankful to know that your Son was a high priest who has compassion on us, that he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And because of that, that we could go to your throne at any time for help in time of need. And that you encourage us. Your word builds us up. Your promises build us up. And the actions you've taken let us know without question that you love us unconditionally and you want nothing but good for us. We're thankful too, Father, for our brethren in Christ. How fortunate we are here to have so many Christians and to be in a rich place like this. We know that that is not the common thing in the world. And let us take advantage of this time to encourage one another, to build up one another. But even if that day comes in our future, we may find ourselves amongst a few, let us still, with all of our heart, be encouraged by you and share that encouragement with others. And we pray tonight, Father, for those that are here that are hurting, that are reaching out. We pray that they will find that encouragement from you. And we pray that we can play a part in helping them. Help us, Father, to go to heaven. And we know you'll provide. Help us to look forward to that day where we can be with you forever. And because of the death of your Son and the cleansing of our sins, and because of the courage that we've had to fight up, that we'll finish the race, we can be with you forever. And thank you for this time. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we ask these things.